My name is Chris Jordan, and welcome to a really special podcast passion project of mine, a mini-series called Coffee with Convicts. This year, I met and I partnered up with three remarkable men in a joint project who are all ex-convicts and have served an accumulative odd 42 years in prison here in South Africa. When I met the guys who now head a spiritual rehabilitation program as a collective NGO for prisoners nationwide, so many questions of what lay beyond the prison walls and that life came to mind. That black box, so to speak, of what we see an input and an output and a very surface level understanding of the ecosystem that comes with a life sentence. This short series aims to ask some of the grittier questions that external media sources haven't been able to nor have needed a buy-in or are interested in exploring. Please enjoy this part of this journey. Okay, once again, we are sitting at our resident coffee shop, restaurant, and we are getting ready to record another episode, a part of Coffee with Convicts. And we are here with our team, myself, we've got Tabo, we've got Alpheus, and we've got Vincent. And we are having a conversation and conversations around, man, just, you know, if you've been listening to the podcast series so far, you've noticed that we want to kind of build the guys in terms of their background and where they are and where they are right now, where they've come from, and also build an understanding of where our correctional services and life within, you know, being, you know, in prison, how that kind of works. But today, and for this part and the next part, we really want to touch base with the bigger questions, right? So you know that you have credibility with these guys. They've been through, obviously, the most, say, again, a Gen Z term. But, you know, it's such a massive process that, you know, if you look at anyone and everyone, when you see a before and after shot, it always seems that simple. You know, before, after, you know, it was a quick thing, but it wasn't a quick thing. It never is a quick thing. And we want to chat about, again, kind of those processes and what's on your mind exactly are those really difficult questions. I want to immediately start with, like, the concept of organized crime. To try and understand the actual environment and culture is another. I want to know, and it can be from any one of you guys, all you guys like to kind of pitch in. How does that work? How does organized crime work? I made this comment earlier now when we were just preparing for this, that 20 years ago, you know, there were a lot of petty crimes, right? Petty crimes were kind of easy. Steal a cell phone, steal a wallet. You know, you go to Pretoria Central, like, they're going to take a laptop. Easy. It's chop, right? But it seems like everything's gravitated now to a little bit more organized crime. Without me getting off the topic, I want to know how that process work.
Thank you for the opportunity once more time. That what you're asking me now, organized crime, in terms of robbery, number one, there must be a finger man. A finger man is a man that points that there is money in that building or at that particular place. Then we know we are working on something based on a mere hearsay, but however, since the person might be working or have connection in that particular place, then we know we've got something solid other than going around trying to guesswork where the money is. So organized crime basically start there. Then we start drawing a move. Then we take our little time to check who's in, who's out, what time, what times. Then we start basically surveying the place.
Can I ask a question? So that concept of, like you say, seeing what is happening in there, is that information you get from someone on the inside?
Yes, that's mostly the information that we get on the inside, because mostly if you just assume, your assumption might be wrong, but if there's somebody who knows exactly where, which cupboard the money stays in, then, you know, it's much more easier and gives us courage to go do it.
So once that is done?
And once that is done, then we start surveying the particular place, who comes in, at what time are they leaving, what time are they banking according to the information that we got. So we need to take the money before, a day before it's being banked. So it's not something that we just roughly just do it, but it's something that we have to carefully focus, trying to avoid the consequences.
Okay, so when it happens, obviously you've found the right time. Do you understand? I suppose the least amount of risk. And then there's that whole, I mean, we had Vincent speak, you know, last time about there's a bunch of people that are implicated and stuff. Who gets chosen to go and do everything? Let me put it this way. So we see a lot of, let's say, domestic crimes, you know, so let's say people that rob house or whatever it is and brutally kill people. And people kill people for little things, small things. So is that the intention to be like, look, we just want to get what we want to get. If it comes to that, I'm going to shoot to kill.
Yes, exactly. That's how it's done. Because in our team, we know our capabilities. Someone is the driver. He's a good driver. Then he's going to stay in the getaway car, you know. Yeah. So we don't swap the shooter and the driver.
Okay.
So we know that, okay, we might try to get out clean. But if anything happens, just for our safety, just not to go to prison, just to be able to get away so somebody's blood or his life might be down,
okay,
or will be down.
Okay, so that is, okay, that's the thing. So then that brings me into kind of that how do you become, I'm going to go back into the organized crime, you know, structure and stuff, but I think the immediate and normal question to ask is, how do you become so numb to saying, okay, there are other people involved in your way to getting what you want, and it's kind of a no matter what, as a person's life on the line, it doesn't matter if they're in the way, they're in the way. Again, to villainize you is not the point. I want to understand, how do you get to that point where you say, okay, cool, listen, like, I'm going to detach myself as a human being and just do what I need to do?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Up to now, since I'm outside, since I started music in prison. So this thing for me now, I see it is like getting on stage. You are always nervous, even if you are the best rapper or best singer in the world. You're always nervous 2 seconds before you get on stage. But once you get on stage, there's some, Beyonce calls it Sasha Fierce, that comes into you and you are gone.
Yeah.
Just like that.
So it's okay. So you move into a different persona. I get that. Have you been on one of the runs where people did get shot?
Yeah, a couple of times. And remember back in the days, the first time it was for the 3310. And I was in that crime. I was with my friend who is mentally impaired. And he stole the guy's balls.
Okay, tell me about that story. Yeah.
Yes, we were many robbing this guy a phone. It was a 3310, back in the days. And we couldn't hold one phone at once. And it was in the dark, and my friend decided to cut the guy's balls, saying he's got a buyer for it.
And, I mean, did he have a buyer?
I'm not sure if he really did, but however, he did cut the balls and
okay, so you stand
took them away.
I've got it, Sam. I mean, you've got to stand there. The guy's must stand there with a knife cutting the balls. Did you have a discussion with this friend of yours afterwards, or just leave it? Because
we did speak about it. He told me he sold them. So I ain't got clue about that, but he said he sold them.
Okay, so if you have someone that is a little bit jaded like this guy, do you guys not discuss it amongst yourself and say, this guy is like a bit of a loose cannon? Like, we can see this being a bit of a risk for us moving forward.
Yes, that's what happened. And from then we started doubting his mental capacity and we started avoiding him as much as we could.
I want to know the construct of, like, the mob. Do you understand? When I say the mob, like, there's certain people you just don't piss off. Was there a hierarchy? Were there people?
Yes, there's always a hierarchy because there must be control in everything. And even in a ship, there must be a captain. So, yeah, there was.
Okay, and without, again, giving too much information away, like, what role do you play? Do you have to answer to? Do you have to give a... you know, like a bit of the earnings or whatever it is, what happens? Do you have to, like, okay this stuff by this I would say lord of, you know?
Yeah, first of all, we also do pray before we go do these things.
Okay.
So, yeah.
What does the prayer sound like?
Please, God, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I have got no choice. Please show me a way to do to have money without having to do this, but for now I have to do this.
Okay, do you find now in your spiritual side that those prayers were answered or were assisted?
Yeah, they were answered. Me going to prison was the answer, because I've learned a lot. I've learned to respect human being or human life. I respect each and every person that I come across just because of that.
To organize crime, Chris, is the way people meet first. You get, I have a friend from Mamelodi, another one is Shanguve, other one is Rankua, other one is Bokono.
Yeah.
And then we come together and then we talk about the crime we want to do.
Okay.
Maybe the crime we want to rob the garage.
Yeah.
And then one of the, our guys, you must work in there in the garage.
Right.
You must give us the information, how monies go, and then so that we can go there and rob that people.
Right.
And then any robbery I make it, I don't kill. I don't rape.
Right.
I just take money
right.
and run away.
And is that something that the whole group decides on? It's just, it's a personal thing.
I was lucky because of my crew.
Yeah.
I was the leader of my crew.
Okay.
Anything I said it to my crew.
How do you become leader?
I don't know. That one is just happening because of, I was like always, I want to see, before I do thing, I want to go and check and look right. place and take time to think before I do that. That's why these people vote to put me as a leader.
Sure.
So that I can direct him to survive.
Okay. Okay. So, tell me, you know, you come face to face, you were obviously in the line of fire, I would say, you know, quote unquote line of fire. So you weren't like the driver, right?
Right.
When you look at the person that you're busy robbing, was there any time that you were like, I just don't want to do this? Was there, you know, it's very easy to say, was there a woman involved? Or was there a child sitting in the side or whatever it is? You know, us as men, we're always, it's always just like shown, it doesn't really matter. But were you in a situation where it was difficult to go through with it?
Yes, because of Chris, I have a family also.
Yeah.
That's why when I go there, I don't kill people and then I don't hurt people.
Mm.
I just told them, we are here for the money. We are here.
Yeah.
We need only money. We don't here to kill people or to hit
people. And resistance, like resistance? Did people resist?
People resist and cool. And then we leave us to do our job and then we take money. After that, we go out.
So no one fighting back?
No one fighting back.
They see the guns, it's done.
See the gun, everything is there, Maru. You don't kill. Then you take money.
Vincent, can you explain to me then the mindset of, we know, like I said, there's been home robberies, right? But then there's this, and I'm sure you've met guys like this in prison, right? Who they will first rape the woman, make sure that they rape the woman in front of, let's say, the husband, you know, and they make it a torture, just the whole process. And they're going to, and then they kill them or whatever it is. But their aim was to steal, not to kill. Like, tell me about guys like that. Like, what did you understand? Because you spent enough time. I know that you've met a lot of people, and I also want to see how you, you know, at the end of this, plan to reach out to guys like that, that do that. Explain to me that kind of mentality for a criminal.
Thanks once again, Mr. Chris Jordan, for the wonderful opportunity given by Chris Jordan Media. As my name is Vincent Martin, aka Lesiba Mapagela. Mr. Jordan, according to my experience and the research that I've conducted during my incarceration, I discovered that a lot of the people, when we sit and chat, because there's this time that we have as convicted offenders. We find time to chat and to talk and tell the honest truth. When you look at the person's face, when you ask him or ask her, during the time that you committed a certain crime, what went through your mind? Do you have a sense of wound or a sense of consciousness? Now, a person will tell me that my only thing that comes to my mind is to get what I want, and at the end of the day, I have to go. But when you ask him, if there's a change of plan within your robot or within your setup, what will you do? And you have a gun, mm-hmm. and this guy that you are robbing is going to gun. Mm-hmm. And then what are you going to do? The only rule is to make our way for ourselves. We shoot him, we don't know where we can shoot him, but at the end of the day, we shoot him, and we shoot her. At the end of the day, we have to take our things and go.
But why rape, let's say, the woman on top of it as a sense of torture? They kill them both anyway at the end of it, so they make it's like an experience, a whole experience. Like, it's not just get in, get out type thing.
We've got different types of gangs different types of leaders within the gangs. There is this saying in African religion: if the king is sick, the nation is sick. You find the leader that leading that gang is not the leader for the money; it's the leader to terrorize.
Right.
There's a difference between people who want to survive, the different people who want to terrorize.
Okay, explain that to me. Yeah.
Yeah, those who want to terrorize are those who don't know what they want. They just want to do things for the sake of hating people.
Sure.
They don't want. They don't do things for the sake of to survive. You see now. At the end of the day, you find that the ones who do things like that, to rape people and kill people and rape in front of a particular person as a husband, you see now, which means now their aim is to torture.
Okay.
Because they're possessed with this evil spirit that they from the leader that they, who initiate them, and so that they can go and carry on with the stuff that they're doing.
Thanks a lot. So does that make one gang stronger than another? To know that, let's say, that this gang is a bit, I mean, it's a bit psychotic. You even described it as like a bit of a demonic thing that comes from evil spirits, you know, that take over. But again, does that make one gang stronger than another?
Yes, it's like that, Mr. Chris, because each and everything, it has its own hierarchy.
Mm.
Yeah, it's where people... They will start to analyze, or the gang will start to analyze that, okay, this gang is for terrorizing people and killing people and stealing people's things for fun.
Mm-hmm.
But this gang is for the sake of survival. Some of them, they've got business plans. Some of them, they've got intention that they want to grow the economy, things like that.
Yeah.
Although, but they took the shortcut. But it's where this thing of distinguishing between the two groups started. You live by the way they conduct themselves during the what can we say, that during the vicinity of the appearance of those gangs, or the life or code of conduct of the two gangs.
Mm.
The ones who want money to survive and grow their family,
sure,
and grow the system where they think they can grow it, and those who are doing terrorist things, they're not living the same like those.
Okay, all right. So you go, there's the before, the during, and then the after, right? And you guys meet, obviously, various gangs, etc., and obviously leaders, members, whatever it may be, right? So I kind of recall in the previous recording is that you said that there are a lot of people that do not care if they are in prison. They want to continue. If they do get out, they will continue with crime. It's just a part of the process, whatever it may be, right? So that's a thing? So the guys don't really feel remorse, right?
Some of the people, they took crime as a career. Some, they took crime as a mistake.
Well, how does that start?
In most cases, when you trace back some of the issues, people, they come from broken families.
Mm.
When you are not raised by both parents, you lack some of the morality and the principle and the values within your home, within your family. Because... you might find that, yes, a woman can raise a child,
right,
until that child can reach the maturity state and whatever. But there will be a sense where the part of the father that is lacks within that particular child's growth.
Right.
At the end of the day, you find that the environment also, it takes a role also.
Mm.
The way you are brought up is the way you show your characters during your childhood, or during your teenage, whatever.
So let's say, how young, on average, do let's say boys, we're going to refer to, like I say, the men, do boys want to get into crime and do start getting into, on average?
In most cases, people that started to get into crime at the age of 12 years, 13 years,
uh-huh,
then they're introduced, they're initiated within the system.
How?
Because you see, as I've said before, that the environment that we are situated within,
sure,
it plays a major role in terms of people to get addicted, or to get a sense of feeling that, no, man, this life, these people that are living, this is the life that I want.
But initiation, you say, it's like, so do we select the boys, tell the boys come in? How do they initiate them?
According to my analysis, most of the time, these gang members or gang leaders, as young boys, when they start to grow up and see those people as their role models,
right.
they will start to imitate
right.
What the elders are doing.
Sure.
At the end of the day, they will identify within the crew. On this crew of young boys, this one is a leader. This one is assistant leader.
Okay.
The list goes on and on. At the end of the day, when they want to incorporate them, they will identify the leaders of those young groups.
Right.
And then from there, incorporate them within their elderly gangs so that they can be the spacemen for that group, so they can be sent wherever they want to be sent, so they can do evil deeds and evil whatever that the gang mandated them to do it. You see that then.